It's wonderful that we live in such an age of information transparency. Everything's out there for anyone. Like, as long as you have internet connection and a computer that can access it, man, everything is out there for you to learn. Like, I'm very much self-taught. Obviously, there's, like, I do learn from friends here and there, but for the most part, whenever I'm not knowing anything and it's annoying me and it's bugging me, hit up YouTube, hit up my favorite people, and that's kind of where you go and learn.
What is up, guys, and welcome to the first episode of the Kobe Blankson podcast. I'm so glad that this journey has finally begun, and I hope you guys tune in every single episode to get the most value and to get this great content from great people that I'm going to be interviewing and having on this podcast. Today's guest is a good friend of mine, Saeem Reza. Saeem is a Toronto-based photographer and digital marketer who's worked with the likes of Aston Martin Toronto, Restaurant Lounges in New York, and Morocco Rouge Tourism. Join us as we discuss the importance of doing free work, how to nab your first client, overcoming creative blocks, consistency, and having a plan. Before we get started, I wanted to take the time to ask you guys to do me a big favor. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a rating or review on iTunes. I have left a how-to guide on how to leave a review or rating on my website, KobeBlankson.com, so please just check that out, click the blog post, and it'll tell you everything you need to know. So now, without further ado, let's get to the podcast. Welcome to the Kobe Blankson Podcast, a podcast about exploring people's passions and perspectives through meaningful conversations. Join me as I sit down with creators, friends, and professionals to talk about their process, discuss new ideas, life experiences, lessons they have learned, and how to live a more fulfilling life.
Like, if anyone's listening, they can use this bureau, but this man has done his research. There's one thing I need to say, like, within, what, it's been less than a year?
I started the first podcast probably...
When is it now?
I started the financial one in August of 2017.
Oh, wow.
And then 75 episodes of that one.
You've done 75?
I did 75 episodes, and I've done over 5,000 listens, which is pretty cool. Like, it's not big in, like, podcasts. Like, in, like, Tim Ferriss, I think there's 4 million episode. Yeah, but, yeah. Like...
Baby steps, bro.
There's also... I find with podcasts, there's something to leverage. Mm-hmm. Like, if for most people, they have something that they're known for, and then they go to a podcast, and they can leverage that audience, and then move it over, and then... Boom.
Okay.
They're immediately in the iTunes top podcast to look out for, and then they gain more of an audience because that's where people look for podcasts if they haven't really seen any podcasts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't have that. So it was nice to kind of see. Oh, it works if you gradually go up.
Yeah.
But I pigeonholed myself.
Well, now you're expanding, right? Now you're kind of reaching out to people like me. I'm what, your first ever person to interview?
First. No, not on this podcast. Yeah. You're the first episode, period.
Oh,
you're also responsible for the logo.
Okay.
You don't even know that, but you're responsible for the logo on the podcast.
Right. Okay.
I basically got someone to take your image that you took of me when you're at my place in December.
Yeah.
And just, what are they, a face vector?
Oh, so you're like cartoonish.
Yeah, so I'm cartoonish, face vector with the hat, of course.
The hat, man. Anytime I shoot with you, it's I always like one request, like, bro, I will not shoot unless the Brixton hat is in the premise.
Yeah, my mom's like, "That you love that hat." I was like,
"No, yeah. Saeem loves it."
Yeah, Saeem loves that hat. She's your biggest fan.
Yeah, man.
Like,
that means the world, bro.
Right. She doesn't even know you, but she knows your name.
You were saying how your mom doesn't know any of your friends' names. Like, it's a big deal when she does. So I've yet to meet her, but that's quite the honor. What's your mom's name if she's listening?
Val.
Val, thank you so much for the love. I really appreciate it.
Hey, mom. Look at you getting shout outs on the pod, the first podcast ever. But yeah, so it's been baby steps, and yeah, so I'm just glad that the third time around, like we were talking about earlier before we started recording, is hopefully this is it. Like, yeah. I think you tinker, you learn, and you kind of just like play with it and see, okay, this works, this doesn't work, this works, this doesn't work, and kind of just make it work. You're probably very comfortable with that since you're a photographer.
Yeah, and you
understand that process.
So. It's a straight up, just rinse and repeat, fail a few times, mess up a few times, then you get back and going, and here you are. Like, it seems like such a humbling process for you since you've been around for, what you just said, August of 2017. That's less than a year now.
Yeah, and then there was the basketball podcast before
the
that.
The basketball. Oh, yeah, you've been doing this for a minute.
That was June of 2017.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
Still less than a year, but like the fact that in less than a year you've like you honed your craft in a sense, or you've done all the research to get all this equipment. Like for those listening right now, I literally walked into this room I just saw this intense setup and did not know what to think. Like, wow, is this really Kobe? Like, is this the guy who just a few like months ago was recording on his Samsung S8 or whatever, and, like just struggling? So it's definitely like a thing of inspiration when you just check it out. You know,
I
like,
appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what life is and what
it
is. If you want to do well in anything, not just create content, you gotta take the first step.
Yeah, yeah,
and then not be afraid to fail.
For sure.
I think failure is a bit overrated now. It's a bit more like everyone's like, yeah, you got to fail.
Yeah, yeah. But the amount of entrepreneurship quotes I've seen on Instagram, like, failure is my best teacher.
Thanks, Gary V.
Like, all right, we get it, Gary.
But like, it's true. You have to learn from it not make the same mistakes twice.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you did photography. Mm-hmm. What got you started with photography? Did you fall in love with it right away? Was it one of those things where it's like, oh, Instagram, yeah, I gotta get on.
The photography has been like it like lingered in my life, I'd say earlier on in my life. So one of my biggest influences in my life, one of my best friends, is my grandpa. And growing up, he had just like for like not even that long, for like say less than a year or so, but he randomly, I don't even think he like decided to do it, but he got sold into getting a subscription for National Geographic magazines. And like his English is great, but I feel like a salesman came to his door one day, is like, would you like to subscribe? This is back in the 90s,
just
right?
Just finessed him.
Yeah, just finessed him hard. And man signed up for a year for National Geographic magazine. But one thing you should know about him is my grandpa is like huge adventurer, very independent, and just very like larger than life type of guy. So even if he got finessed, like he ended up reading those magazines, and he showed them to me as kids. And at an early age, I was just exposed to what was out there in the world, and not just what was out there in the world, but how it was being captured, you know, the people behind the photos, the equipment being used. And this is like, I'd say at age 10, 11 ish. And I'm not any photography expert by any means, but just like, you know, I built a liking for that kind of stuff. Yeah. So if you're really asking me to dig deep about where it started, I wouldn't say I'm starting my photography there, but that's where kind of the love and the appreciation of just imagery and all that kind of stuff started, and just like the world and cultures and all together. That's kind of where it first began. Fast forward, I'm 11. So fast forward, I'd say 7-8 years when I'm 18, 19. So just about to get into university. So photography came into my life officially like, okay, sorry, let's go back a bit. So not
bring it back.
Rewind. I'd say grade 11, grade 12. I got what's known now as an iPhone 4. So, wow. Yeah, it was quite the big deal.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, his last phone, man. In around grade 12, I got that phone. And it was the first phone on the market at the time with just a camera with a wider aperture on it. So, long story short, what it achieved was that...
2.8, right?
Something like that. Yeah. I can't recall back. Just correct us in the comments if you feel like you need to. But it was an iPhone 4 camera, and I was just obsessed with kind of taking photos of small little things like my erasers, my pencils. And what like captivated me was the fact that the background would be blurred whenever I took these photos.
Bokeh
is the labor of love, my friend. So
everybody's trying to get it.
Everyone's trying to get it. I remember like I wasn't the only one who obviously had an iPhone 4 at the time. A bunch of my friends got it. They'd start posting photos on Facebook and just like, it would just be a photo of like their glass of milk with just bokeh in the background. We were all just kind of obsessed with it. Just like that's kind of like another step of where I kind of like started falling in love with photography. I'd start taking photos of random things. Since I was a child, I've always been into the automotive world. Like I've always been into cars and everything like that. Yeah. Like name any car for me, name their engine, name what country they're from, who designed it or anything. I'd love talking that kind of stuff. So yeah, this is kind of a backstory to it all. So what really, really, like what was the moment where I got into photography? I'd say first year, university, 18, 19 years old. Yeah. So was it
the iPhone and then you were just taking photos of your friends, or was it like, okay, this is my phone, I like taking photos of this, but let me get a real camera and start like taking photos.
Let me tell you. So it was very accidental in a sense. Not accidental, very like it just kind of stumbled upon me. But
As most passions,
that's the best passions kind of stumble upon you. But so I took photos on my phone, but that was nothing serious. It was just me kind of admiring bokeh. But when I was 18, 19 years old, my sister got a DSLR for her camera for her birthday. So nice, like Nikon D3100. If you don't know what that is, super entry level DSLR. But to me, compared to my iPhone 4, it was like a beast, right? Yeah.
That's a filet mignon.
Yeah, exactly. It's the filet mignon. So my sister, you know, she had her fun with it. 3 weeks later, she stopped touching it. Just forgot about it. She was over it, you know? Lo and behold.
She couldn't get the photos that she was seeing.
Yeah. She take a few photos, post it on Facebook, and then that was it. Yeah. Lo and behold, I come along, and I'm just the guy who's playing around with it all the time. I'm YouTubing tutorials. I'm learning about what aperture, ISO, shutter speed, all that kind of means. One thing about me is, when I, see something and I like it, I kind of go heavy nerd out mode, but we
call it Tim Ferriss.
Tim Ferriss. Yeah, straight up. I was literally thinking that. You just read it out of my mind. But yeah, I Tim Ferriss the whole situation. I straight Googled how cameras work, what the mechanisms were behind it, what a sensor means, and all that kind of stuff. A few months later, my sister kind of got annoyed that I was using her camera all the time, so I ended up getting my own, and that's where it started. I just started taking photos of my friends. Photos of cars on the streets, photos of our humble little town of Ottawa, Ontario. And I'd experiment with long exposure, got myself a tripod, got myself a flash setup.
You did the whole nine. What I like is that you didn't just take the camera and start shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you didn't get the results,
mm-hmm.
you're like, well, this obviously isn't for me.
Yeah.
That's, I think we're fortunate enough in today's age to have YouTube there. And YouTube can give us all the information we need if we go and look for it.
For sure.
And you have to put in the time to understand it,
mm-hmm.
to then, oh, if I adjust a camera like this, then I'm going to get this type of image. If I adjust this, then this type of image. And then you go try it. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize, I don't have the lens. It can't. It's the lens. It's not fast enough.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
Yeah.
That you put in the time.
It's wonderful that we live in such an age of information transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's out there for anyone. Like, long as you have internet connection and a computer that can access it, man,
mm-hmm.
everything is out there for you to learn. I'm very much self-taught.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do learn from friends here and there, but for the most part, whenever I'm not knowing anything and it's annoying me and it's bugging me, hit up YouTube, hit up my favorite people, and that's kind of where you go and learn.
So you mentioned you're self-taught, and when we met in university, I believe I was third year, I was fourth year, and then you were second year.
Yeah.
That's when we really got to know each other.
Yeah.
And you had started doing digital marketing.
Yeah.
You do that now.
I do that now as a career, yeah.
So would you say that for someone who's trying to get into digital marketing, it's, I don't know, is it, do you have to have a a portfolio before to then get into the industry, or did you just be like, hey, I have a camera, I can do this, let me get an internship.
So for anyone out there who's just starting out, free work is the best kind of work, I'd say. So, and in respect to photography, I'd say where I learned a lot of my processes and workflows and everything would be just taking photos at school events, just random school events. And you know, you're kind of moving really quickly, taking photos of a lot of things at once. And then once you do that, you got to sit down and edit it all there and figure out your process there. So, with respect to your question, any free work, again, just when you're just starting out, don't really have anything to offer, don't really have a portfolio to display. Any free work that would kind of get your skills up there, but not only just get your skills going, but get you connected to other people. Yeah. That's kind of your, I guess, where you start your roots. So in terms of how do you start with digital marketing? How did I start with all that? I just kind of just do free gigs here and there. I owe a lot of my success to this organization that I'll try not to plug too hard, but this organization that goes by the name of Enactus. So long story short, Enactus is this organization that's based in universities all across the world, and it creates student groups within schools, and basically these student groups are meant to start up social enterprises within their community, and then at the end of the year they kind of put on this full-on multimedia presentation that they present in front of a board of judges at a national or regional competition, and then the world competition.
So you knew that before going in. That could be a way to leverage my talents if I can get in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of my cousins kind of just, in my first, second year, one of my cousins, he kind of forced me into this organization in Enactus, and against my will, just got me to go into it.
Again, I signed you up. Let's go.
Yeah, bro, you in. Because of my introduction into that organization and just all the I don't want to call it free work, but just the work that I was doing for, you know, the social enterprises that we were starting up, in terms of like, what I mean by work is like, you know, social media management, design for web, design for print, photography and all that kind of stuff. This was me doing it all on my own.
Yeah.
And just learning right from the get-go. That would be like my first foundational place where I started learning all the skills required for digital marketing. And then, yeah, I kind of just took off with that. We did a lot of campaigns for the social enterprises. We presented our social enterprises a few times at these competitions, and I would be the one managing the multimedia presentations, yeah. The development of all that, the photos, videos, audio, all behind it.
You're a one-man band. You're kind of like your own business underneath them.
But I'm a student, and it's all free. But again, it goes back to the whole thing. Like, if you're really trying to get on your feet and really this, something like photography is something you really want to do. You got to start out like straight up free, just like offering as much free work as you can.
I think what can be, like what is really like so clutch about that whole situation is like, and what makes it so great is that when you're a student, you're not in the forefront working with big businesses where they're going to like really like reprimand you for a big screw up. Mm-hmm. So when you're a student, it's basically like getting like free throws. Like you're getting your shots up before the game, right? So it's basically practice rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing all these, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So you don't have the fear of failure holding you back.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, this is the best I can do. This is what I know. Let me put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not what they want, they're a student, they're going to be a bit easier on you and they'll tell you exactly how they like it. You can apply it and then move.
Yeah.
So now, I know now, like we talked for what, December? So you moved out here to Toronto, what, about a year and a
half? Almost 2 years, two Augusts ago.
Yeah. So 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the move here has really kind of turned up your entrepreneurial side. You're now starting 100%. To get more side businesses like that, and you're starting to get clients.
Mm-hmm.
So we can assume that your experience with Enactus as kind of like a mini business underneath that umbrella,
mm-hmm.
helped get you clients.
100%, yeah.
But what were some things you did to get those clients? Because some people just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what are the first steps. They don't know if you send them an email. Do I have to know somebody? Like, okay. What were some of the things you did?
Okay, so from humble beginnings of Aconottawa, Ontario, moving to Toronto, thing is like, obviously you build a reputation in Ottawa, right? Once people hear your name, they kind of, they relate it to photography and design and creativity and all that kind of stuff. So I had not a giant reputation, but I had a reputation in Ottawa. Like I knew my people and everything like that. You're kind of a big fish in a small pond, right? Once you move out here, small fish in a big sea, right?
Yeah.
Like you're kind of competing up against.
You're a little ant.
You're a little ant, if anything. You're a little, what's it called? A tadpole, whatever you want to call it. So you move out to a city like this, there's definitely a lot more competition, a lot more established people, people who've lived here their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And like they've got their network straight. And yeah, just basically you're competing up with that. One thing I really discovered about this city, and I love it, and I don't know if any other city like LA or New York is like this, but the creative community here is astounding. And with respect to like collaborations and just trying to help each other out. And I think it comes with just being Toronto, just being like, you know, that Canadian metropolitan city that no one really like, you know, no one really gives any respect or anything like that. So everyone here is out here really helping each other.
Yeah.
And that's really the case. So
because if one person blows up from Toronto, it's like
everyone
from Toronto.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go up there and then another creator can feed off that.
Exactly.
And just, yeah.
Exactly. So the one thing that helped me was the community out here, lovely community. And there's the ecosystem for it as well. You know, we have the creator class, we have the free space, we have a bunch of incubators across the city, just helping out creators. Mm-hmm. And so little things like that. But that's now. When I first got here, it's actually a good friend of mine. Her name's Emily Dorenzo. She's another wonderful photographer. She's from Ottawa. We went to university together. We actually weren't friends in university. We just knew each other's photography.
Yeah. I like that girl's photos.
I was like, yo, you're a hype photographer. And we'd like see each other's in the halls, and I'd be like, nice just photos, bye.
Nice photos, lift up your camera.
Yeah, yeah. Just like quick salute, you know? Wakanda forever. this girl Emily, like we weren't really much friends in university, but when we moved here, I just didn't have much of a photography community in the city. I just like one day we just met up with each other and we just started developing like a list of just places in the city that we want to shoot. If there's one thing you need to know about Toronto, you'll never run out of places to shoot. Yeah. Like, it's such a wonderful, ginormous, it's always changing, it's ginormous, and all these things are popping up. So, yeah, we just kind of develop a list of places to shoot, and then potential people that we would like to shoot with. You know, we're very lucky and fortunate to live in a day and age where there's a lot of prominent creators from Toronto that are taking over the Instagram scene. So we just literally just go on Instagram, open an Excel spreadsheet, put down lists of places we want to shoot with, and places we want to shoot at, and people we want to shoot with. So that's kind of where it started. And we held ourselves
kind of came in.
Yeah. We held ourselves accountable to it. That's a giant thing too. If you're gonna, you know, or if you're gonna have some organizations with it, hold yourself accountable to it. So we started doing weekly shoots, and this is solely for fun, not business related, nothing at all. We just started doing weekly shoots at certain locations, you know, Nathan Phillips Square, the AGO, like Harborfront, whatever. One weekend, if I wasn't feeling like it, Emily would be like, no, let's go shoot.
Yeah.
If she wasn't feeling like it, be like, Emily, let's go shoot.
Be consistent.
Be consistent. Yeah. And then one thing you notice is our Instagrams daily. We'd have daily posts.
Yeah.
And with that daily post, we started just hashtagging our photos. And then we'd start garnering engagement and stuff. People would start seeing our photos on their explore pages and all that. And then pretty prominent photographers in Toronto would start reaching out to us. We'd start getting featured on these random blogs here and there.
Yeah.
And then the ball starts get rolling there. So I'm not saying that this is the one answer to fix all, but if ever you are moving to a giant city, or, you know, you're just kind of starting out in something, definitely do your best to find the spaces where you can find creators just like you and just build with them. Just, you know, figure it out. Like, and don't just build and skip around and take photos and have fun. Like, be organized, have an organized approach to it. Hold yourselves accountable.
Have a shot list, have people you want to collab with.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Have an idea, like your thoughts become things.
Yeah, yeah, your thoughts become things. We can sit here all day long talking about who we want to shoot, but once it's on an Excel spreadsheet, once you're like checking the boxes and everything like that, that's when you start like, you know, validating your plans and everything.
It's so, like a workout plan.
Yeah, straight up. Like anything else in life. Like, this can be applied to a lot of things. But my advice going back to that, anytime you're moving anywhere, just like do your best to find the spaces where you'll find creators or anyone just like you, and just figure things out. Just build with them and just
go shoot.
And be genuine. Be genuine too. Don't reach out to people and use them as a means to your ends. It has to be very, like, you know, you gotta care about the people. We're all human beings out here. Emily very well as one of my best friends now, and like, you know, like we hang out and everything, and it's not just about photos with us, like we talk about life and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, when you're getting out, reach out to people, make sure it's genuine, and just like, yeah, care about people at the end of the day. Treat people like humans. And
people have a natural bullshit detector.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know how we have it, why we have it. I know why we have it. It's to protect ourselves
from people
who bring that bullshit.
Exactly.
And it's underrated how much just being kind and just being like, hey, like, I really like your stuff. Even just a comment like, hey, I really like your stuff. Mm-hmm. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me, for when I share on Instagram, I'm like, hey, I like your stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, keep it up.
Yeah, yeah.
That person, and like responding to people.
Yeah.
It hits me. They're like, thank you, I appreciate it. And then they start asking me questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't even my intention. Mm-hmm. But now I have a relationship or a rapport with someone that's from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Simply from just saying something kind.
Yeah.
So
what, like, a world we live in, right?
be genuine.
Be genuine.
And just, yeah. Yeah.
It's so, just in this day of so much noise and so many other creators out there, just do your best to bring it back and just be nice to people at the end of the day.
You mentioned Instagram. So do you think that Instagram is starting to become oversaturated? Do you think like that everyone's kind of just copying each other's look? What are your thoughts on that?
Oversaturated, I guess that is it's another word for just saying like overcrowded. There's a lot of people. You're definitely bound to run into other people that create just like you. And that, like, taking away Instagram, taking away social media, that's just the state of art, I'd say. People find influences from anything, and it's just, you know, I've never read this book, but one of my good friends always keeps recommending it. But it's called Steal Like an Artist.
Okay.
I've never read it, but like just the title alone just tells you, like, it's just the state of being an artist. You know, you're going to find inspiration in anything. You're going to find it in cuisine and culture and traveling and art, poetry, whatever. And you're just going to kind of replicate it in your own way. And that's kind of how things like progress and evolve and stuff like that. What's good, bro?
Cousin just
walked in out here. But, yeah, straight up.
He's like, I'm looking like a snack.
But what were we saying? To answer your question about just being like oversaturated or anything, that's just the state of like just being an artist. Like Instagram is overpopulated. And in terms of being copied and just finding similar content, that's just the state of it. You're going to see stuff that's similar. Again,
it's a fine line.
Yeah.
You want to have a platform where you can have people to see your work and see that you're someone that produces high quality content that can move people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you do something and it gathers traction, other people are going to do it, and now you have to evolve. So it's like, it's oversaturated, yes, but it forces you to evolve and constantly have to be creative.
Yeah. Going back to accountability, like that's like how me and Emily like shoot once every week so we can have content throughout the week for Instagrams.
Yeah.
It just goes all the way back to that. Like, it is a crowded platform, but that platform kind of holds us accountable to just keep creating as well.
So, like, you've worked with Aston Martin now. You've worked with some other car companies, and they know that there's other like photographers out there who can do the same shots as you. Do you find that's more all relationship, or is it like the quality of the work as well? Do you think it's more relationship than the quality of the work because there are other
creators? It's a fine mix of it. Yeah. Like obviously if you're creating content, you want it to be top notch kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a relationship thing too as well. Like going back to the whole comment about being genuine. Like any photographer can approach Aston Martin and be like, hey, I'd like to shoot for you. I'd like to create content for you. I'd like to put out stuff for you to increase your engagement on Instagram. Any photographer can do that.
Yeah.
Me, because of my history with my love of cars and just knowing Aston Martin as a brand and knowing what the brand is from and the country they're from and what they're all about, I approach them with a bit more knowledge of it and a bit more research and also just a love for it. I remember first meeting my client is a gentleman by the name of Alec who runs his own YouTube channel where he reviews Aston Martins. I remember first meeting him upon like just 2 minutes. We were just hitting it off about car conversation, about the history of cars. And we're good friends now. And I think just from that moment on, he realized like, hey, this guy, not only is he a great creator, not only is he a very talented photographer, he knows about these cars. So
when
I bring him out, he'll give it his all. He'll give it his 100% and he'll do it with respect to the history of Aston Martin and all that kind of stuff. So going back to the whole genuine thing, like,
It's the connection.
Connect, man. It's the connection thing.
I'm going to be more likely to give my buddy a job that I actually have a relationship with than someone who's a dick, but their work is amazing. I think there was a whole time period, and Tim Ferriss kind of mentions this, that where Silicon Valley, everyone tried to mimic Steve Jobs. And Steve Jobs kind of had this kind of like aura that creators are assholes, but as long as the quality is good, then people are going to be drawn to you. So people started copying that, right? It's a copy, it's steal the art, right? So they just started copying that. And then it kind of got lost that, no, you have to have a connection with people first.
Yeah.
And then the quality comes second because that's just how any relationship is fostered, right?
Straight up, yeah. With your parents, with your friends,
with your clients. Any relationship. like if you're a wedding photographer and you're very difficult to work with,
you're gonna ruin the wedding.
You're gonna ruin the wedding. You're gonna make that
ruin one of the best days of someone's life. You know,
like, they're gonna be like, it was an amazing wedding, but fuck that photographer.
Exactly.
I want to strangle the person. So, I remember we were talking, and you had said that before you got your new camera, there was a time when you were like, you weren't too sure if you're gonna do photography anymore. You weren't too sure if it was
you remember that conversation.
Yeah,
right?
You weren't too sure.
There's some secrets coming out here.
Yeah. So like, bring me back to that. Like, what do you think was like? Why'd you feel that way? And what helped you get out of it?
It was a bit of like I'd say imposter syndrome. So one thing I'm very thankful for in my life is that I'm surrounded by very talented creators, and these people are my good friends that I trust my life with. So they were doing their thing. They were killing it in the game. They all had their full frame cameras. They were creating amazing content and all that kind of stuff. And I was just out there with a crop sensor, used Nikon and all that kind of stuff.
For anybody who wants to know about crop sensors, essentially full frame is maximum amount of light that gets in. The photos look amazing, and a lot of the pros use them. Crop center generally is with intermediate and beginning cameras.
Basically you get a bit more of a smaller photo and not as crisp and sharp, going back to imposter syndrome, so I was at a place in my life where I kind of like was looking at all these people around me and thinking, man, I can never get to that level. Like like they've been doing it for a while. They got their equipment. I don't even have the same equipment for them. That's not something I can do. It was funny because they were kind of the not just my friends, but just the creators on Instagram and everything. I'd see their stuff and I feel like I wouldn't be able to create it, but they were also kind of like the catalyst behind why I got back into it. It was like, okay, if they can create it, why not get back into it? Why not like take it a bit more seriously? So I suffered from like that, I guess, just a little bit of that, and then just creative block. Like I didn't know what I wanted to create, and I was also living in Ottawa at the time, and Ottawa is a place I love to death, but it was just at a point where I've shot almost every location in the city.
It's limited, right?
And there just wasn't much to do. So
would you attribute it, like the move to Toronto or the move just to a new location? It doesn't have to be
just
bigger.
To a new location, but not just that. I traveled a few times as well. So during those times traveling, I still had my old camera. I was still shooting with that. But that kind of just gave me a bit more inspiration to kind of just get back on my feet and start shooting and creating again. I wouldn't draw it all to this moment, but it's when I honestly got my full frame camera, man. These cameras are serious pro gear stuff. And as soon as I got it, as soon as I was able to use it to create photos in my own way, use the manual settings and all that, that's kind of where it took off. If you really want to get really specific about it, I'd say, the purchase of that camera kind of liberated me in many ways.
Well, yeah, because it's a bad thing that's going on. We're in a consumer society, and a lot of people think you need the best in order to kind of achieve the best. And they're not wrong in some sense. For you, it makes sense because you put the work prior to that.
Yeah, I was just at a point in my life after so many years where it was time to move to the next step.
You can't get that look because the actual tool isn't doing what you want it to do.
Mm-hmm. It's a physicality thing.
What I like that you said is like, there's always a moment when someone who's creating something or even working in a regular job where it's like, is this for me? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is for you, but you have to fight through rough point.
Some demons.
You got to fight through like the low points, right? To get to a new plateau. Mm-hmm. And with podcasts with me, like this is, like I said earlier, this is my third go, right? So the first one, it was with me and my buddy. We're talking about basketball. I'm telling you, the amount of mistakes we made in the first part, it was like nuts. I'm like, this is crazy. Okay. Like this is irritating. How many mistakes we're making? I didn't press record. I didn't do this, that, and the third. It's annoying. Yeah. And then the second one, just me learning. And then comes a point where I didn't know what else to talk about.
Just ran out of content.
I ran out of content. I ran out of content that meant something to me. And I really am committed to producing meaningful content. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't listen to it myself, I'm not going to put it out.
Yeah.
And then, so like, I think the last podcast I've released for just myself with the financial one was like 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not going to put anything out that I don't know, but I'm not going to give up on podcasting. Mm-hmm. So that's where this one came from. So it's like, okay, let's just open the umbrella so I can talk about more things.
Yeah.
And it's similar situations. It's like, okay, how can I get out of this? And you gotta figure it out quick and get out of it, because if you don't, you will quit. Like we're prone to get comfortable.
Totally. We're very comfortable beings, and the second you're not doing enough, it's a rough spot to be in for sure. One thing I'll tell you about it actually. So, the past I'd say month and a half or so, winters kind of get a little brutal, and you kind of don't want to take photos in a city like Toronto at least.
Canada, we
got it rough out here, right? But I'd say the last month and a half, if you actually look at my Instagram, I actually haven't been posting too much in the past month and a half. I was in a bit of a creative rut where like I just wasn't like taking as many photos, but the energy that I would have had to go out and take shoots and everything, I was full on forcing it into creating like a media deck, a pitch deck, and then reaching out to potential clients and all that kind of stuff. So not to say that if you are ever finding yourself in a rut in any job, any way possible, but like channel that energy to just like benefit something else within your business or within your career or anything like that. So the month and a half where I hardly post on Instagram, me and Emily were talking about like planning a trip to LA and reaching out to influencers and reaching out to automotive brands over there, developing pitch decks and straight up cold emailing people and just like finding leads and all that. So
tell the audience about that, because we were talking about it just for the pod, and you guys are going to LA.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like the creator heaven right
creator
now.
Creator heaven.
Everybody's going.
It's the Mecca.
The population's probably like 35 million at this point in LA.
Yeah.
And you don't know anybody. Well, Emily does now from her previous visits, but her grind is the same.
Her grind is the same, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go to that person's Insta. I'm going to hit them up, DM, show them what I got, and yeah.
So yeah.
What's your plan? Like,
what's
like,
our plan?
Share to the audience.
Kind of like how when we first met and we just put up an Excel spreadsheet of locations and people we wanted to shoot, we did the same for LA. So LA's been a place that Emily's been to a few times, and she shot with some influencers over there. She planned a trip to go again at the end of April, and then I decided to come along as well and kind of reach out for some automotive clients over there. And the whole process behind it, again, developing a list, developing some locations, and not only just fully making it a business list where we're shooting some clients, but just making it a trip for ourselves where we can develop content for ourselves, you know, like travel to places we've never been to, Venice Beach, the Hollywood Hills, whatever. We're just kind of the past month or so, we've been developing these like pitch decks, and not just pitch decks, but bettering our online presence, like our website. Just
cleaning up the website,
just
making sure you have
stuff. Yeah, exactly. Like right now, my website, like, I'd say 5 months ago, if you were to open my website, it would be a bunch of travel photos. It would be a bunch of portrait photos. Photos of Kobe, actually. My man's. If you looked at it a few months ago, it would be that. But if you right now, if you were to log onto my website, just cars. The first few photos that you see are just like Lamborghinis, Aston Martins, Rolls Royces, and all that. Because my reach strategy when I'm reaching out to these automotive clients, when I'm reaching out and pitching to them, once they open my website, I want the first thing they see to be my automotive work.
Okay.
So the little things like that.
You're developing your own brand.
Exactly.
You want your
brand. But tailoring it to the clients that I'm going for.
Okay.
I developed two separate PDF pitch decks. One of them I showed you earlier. One of them has just a bunch of automotive work in it. Another one has a bunch of travel photography I've done. Another one has a bunch of portrait work I've done featuring Kobe as well. Yeah. So when I'm reaching out to, you know, models or dancers in LA, I'll use the model portrait one. Automotive one, I'll use the auto one. When I'm reaching out to hospitality clients or travel or tourism, using the tourism one. So that's kind of just been using that. And
what do you use to create the little pitch decks? Because you're showing me on your phone, and like it's scrolls so it's nicely.
They're PDFs, straight up Adobe InDesign, bro.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of what we've been doing for the past month. And yeah, just having a process to it, not just talking about it, not just, you know, all this fluff about how we want to achieve our dreams, but literally sitting down, having a plan to it, and just being accountable for it.
Yeah. And then I guess finding that balance between working with people who have enough clout to then take you to the next level and working with people
that can connect you to other people with clout, I guess.
Yeah. It is a fine line.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're like, I really like that person and like I really want to shoot them, but like they have like what 500 followers
and it's
not going to do anything for you, but it might.
Yeah. Let me like stop you there for a second. Like, sure, we are creating content there with a few prominent influential people, but when you see someone, don't let that just be your barrier to anything. When you see someone that's talented and they're only at 500 followers, but you know, you respect their hustle, you respect their art, always like find out a way to collab with them. Like, they can end up helping you later on in the future. And I don't want to just say, just do it just so they can help you in the future or anything, but like, you'd be surprised where some clients come from. Funny story, my Aston Martin client actually came from a friend who did video work for us with where I work. I just admired his work. He wasn't influential or anything. He didn't have a ton of following. I just admired his work. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting a job at Aston Martin. He ended up getting a video gig with Aston Martin in Toronto. And then he suggested my name, and that's kind of how I got it. Little things like that.
That's how it works.
Yeah,
that's where being genuine matters.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're an up and coming photographer or anybody going up and coming, and your only focus is like, oh, I'm starting a podcast and my first guest has to be The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are you doing the podcast for? What are you creating content for? Are you creating content for notoriety? Are you creating content because you like it? Like, it's no. Mm-hmm. You gotta like
get your priorities straight.
Get your priorities straight and be genuine.
Yeah.
And like,
I'm gonna keep saying it. It's gonna annoy people, but
and have a vision. Yeah. Like, I think the key thing anyone can get from your process and your journey is that like you made sure you had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's visual that you can constantly go back to
and refer to,
and just like check it. Even when you're in a rut. Yeah. It's like, hey, the rut's because the list needs to be extended.
Yeah,
there needs to be more to that list. So what's your next plans in terms of like aesthetics? Have like I've seen your aesthetic change so much, and you've improved so much.
Thanks, man.
In such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you came back from Toronto and we did a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Toronto, you're like, okay, go by that wall and just stand there, and you take a photo, and they come out great.
Yeah.
And then you go to Toronto. You're there for 6 months. You come back. You're like, all right, I need you to put your phone in your pocket. I need you to put this leg a little bit forward. And hold on. tilt a little bit to the right.
Straight directing, right?
Like just directing. Yeah. And that skill just went boom.
Yeah, I'm happy you noticed. It means a lot that you noticed.
Those little details are what differentiate someone who's an intermediate to a pro or a beginner to intermediate. It's those little like marginal details. Yeah, so what's your next like step in the aesthetic of Saeem Riza?
The aesthetic, I guess? Man, just going more for the clients that I'm passionate about. If you didn't notice one thing, a lot of these clients that I'm reaching out to, they're clients that I have some sort of inclination and passion towards. So going back to automotive, I'm big into cars, but the things that I haven't mentioned yet is I really want to reach out to like urban apparel streetwear brands. Like I'm really into that whole scene. Nike, Adidas, Supreme even.
Do you have a specific idea of how you want to shoot them? That's why you want to do it?
Mm-hmm. Not like any concrete plans yet. Kind of what I want to go about right now is just find influencers. Again, within Toronto, so many influencers that are ambassadors for Nike and Adidas, and just find them and just take photos of them. And then, you know, once they post the photos that you've taken, Nike and Adidas will see that. Mm-hmm. And if it's good content and the engagement rate is noticeably higher than their other photos, mm-hmm. you know, Nike and Adidas are more inclined to reach out to you and then, mm-hmm. or not inclined to reach out to you. Now you can reach out to them and be like, hey, this is a photo I took. I admire your work so much. Been a fan since... From time, I'd love to work, and that's kind of how you get the ball rolling. So what's my next step in terms of aesthetic? I'd love to dive into like the urban apparel streetwear stuff. Hospitality would be awesome. Tourism, the most saturated market out there, but I'd love to land a few tourism clients where I can be flown to, you know, certain countries and just create content for tourism boards, for hotels, for
is that how whatever. It works? Is so basically a tourism board for like Hawaii would be like, hey, we're hiring like seven photographers, come shoot, and then give us photos, and we'll give
not
you
as that. It's a little more complicated than that than I'd say, but from my understanding, from what I've seen at least on Instagram, like our Alan Palander we were talking about earlier, big photographer.
Follow him.
He is in every respect my idol. Like I'd love to be just work just like him someday. Big creative director based out of Toronto.
Instagram stories
are insane, and just the content and just how genuine he is with his work and how he responds to his fans and everything, just insane. He's a beast. But he has clients like not just tourism boards, but like Air Canada is a client of his, and Air Canada flew him out to all of their big hubs across the world, and they said Air Canada will fly you here and take photos here and stuff like that. And another big client of his, Mercedes-Benz Canada. So they kind of, Mercedes wanted to showcase their off-roading cars, so their G-Wagons, their G-Classes, their GLE and everything, and they basically gave cars to him and told him to go to the more of the off-roady-ish areas of Canada. So they flew him to Vancouver, gave him a G-Wagon, he drove it out for a week, all paid for, all that stuff was paid for, and
jeez,
he made money on it. And then that's kind of, you know, that's a very intense end goal, but that's where I'd like to see myself in a few years at least, and we'll see where we are.
We were talking about him earlier, and what we were talking about how he worked a full-time job and how photography was kind of like the hobby, and now it's starting to blow up and starting to fix.
Yeah.
You work full-time, and you have the photography on the side.
Yeah.
How do you balance the two?
One thing I'll say, I'm super duper thankful to have a full-time job that's super accommodating of what I do.
Okay.
It's a digital marketing manager role. So they're very, very complimentary. It's a very creative, you know, analytics organized like role. It very much complements how I do my photography and how I run that whole side of the thing. And it is a business in every sense of the word. So it very much complements each other, both of those ways. How do I manage like running full-time?
Yeah. How do you balance it? Cause for me, I work full-time. So basically my day is early morning, I wake up, I get a to-do list of the personal stuff I want to do after I'm done work, right? And then, so I go to work, I'm done, hit the gym, because you gotta stay healthy, and then I get right to it. Whether it's an hour or two, just do something that's going to help the side projects, the passion projects, and stuff like that.
Let's just like go right down to like, I guess, just the elemental stuff. So 9 to 5, you're gonna be at work 9 to 5 every day, so that's 40 hours that are just kind of out there. Whatever hour you have left in that week, use it to build,
because you had a disadvantage
from someone who's full-time, someone who's not working, someone who's not doing full-time, doing this photo thing full-time, you're at a disadvantage. So use whatever time you can to build. So weekends, always, like I kind of always leave my daytime in the weekends just free to just do a client. So anytime friends ask for anything, I'll be like, no, sorry, that spot's kind of just on hold right now for a potential client that I might be working with.
I like that.
Like another little thing that people don't think about, but for example, especially for photography, like the winter time, the sun sets at like 4 p.m., right? Like it's darkness by 4 p.m. So I can't do shoots, well, at least shoots with respect to daylight. I can't do shoots after work. So winter time is a very, very limiting time, right? So that thing, like winter was actually a very, very busy time for me because all my clients were being led to the weekend because that's when the only time we had daylight, right? So
that's,
that's
the disadvantage.
That's a little mini disadvantage that
you got to work with. You got to work around.
And one thing I've noticed is that, again, going back to the whole genuine thing and just creating good, good content, if people love your content and they see that you actually care about it, they'll make it work for you too. They'll figure out a weekend that time matters. Or something like that.
That matters.
But yeah, that's kind of how I manage it. I just like any hour that's available in my day besides work, besides the gym, besides like, you know, chilling with friends. Just use it towards building your career, use it towards building your business and your brand and all that. So weekends, evenings, that's kind of how I go about it. In the winters are brutal, but I make them work.
Do you sleep a lot though?
Sleep. Yeah. I'd say like, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. is a regular time to go to bed, I'd say. And that's not just me staying up YouTubing. That's me like getting ready for my leads or whatever. Just like figuring stuff out or just scrolling through Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like my friends always make fun of me. I'm always scrolling through Instagram and they always think I'm just a social media addict. I am a social media addict, I say, in any sense of the word.
It's meant to be addictive.
It's meant to be addictive, but that comes with the whole, you know, it comes with the business, comes with the craft of it. You kind of have to be obsessed with it to an extent so you can just find out what the next best thing is and just develop yourself as you go. So,
So I think with social media, it's the ultimate... It's the ultimate gate to freedom.
Oh yeah, it is.
You just gotta figure out like the key and like what works for you and how you can stand out.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about like engagement and how vertical photos do so much better than the little things.
Yeah. And posting at 7-6 p.m.
And you don't think about those things because just you have to think about how would the end consumer consume it? Like how are they actually like consuming my content?
It's marketing at the end of the day.
And what I found is that like YouTube, even though it is horizontal and people like turn it around, I feel like Instagram stories is finding a way to kind of steal some of that thunder.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like we talked about earlier, people are doing like full basically narrative stories with photos on Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, click, 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 click.
What's his name? In a minute. Jesse Driftwood?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
One of the best stories on Instagram, but he just documents his life daily and he does it all in vertical like a vertical ratio. And he completely tells stories and creates these like very mesmerizing videos of just his life and everything. And I've even noticed you've done it a few times too.
I've started and it's just, it's a way to kind of build on the skill.
Mm-hmm.
And like podcasting is one skill, then video editing can help with the podcast. So that's another skill. And when you're trying to, find your own lane, everyone is on YouTube.
Yeah.
So it's like Jesse's one of the first people to really do it on Instagram. And now more people are starting, to do it, but everyone gets onto stuff, but not everyone's consistent. So like I've tried it and I like it. I like that it's short form and there's a constraint to really challenge your creativity.
Yeah.
There's only 15 seconds.
Yep. So and it's gone forever. So you got to make it captivating.
Exactly. And if you do multiple 15 second clips, sometimes it doesn't hit the same way.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm tripling down on vertical content. I'm tripling down on Instagram. Like I was telling you before, YouTube is amazing, but I'm all Instagram.
Yeah. It's kind of where creators kind of start these days. Then they find themselves into YouTube now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we're living in a funny age. Yeah.
It's backwards.
Yeah.
Before it was like, I'm a YouTuber. Oh yeah.
Follow
like,
me on Instagram, by the way.
You follow me on Instagram. Yeah. It's like, now it's like, no, my Instagram game is on fleek.
Yeah.
But I also have a personality. I can talk like 15 seconds is great, but let's
talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm just glad you came on the pod. That's all I had.
Oh, thanks for having me, bro.
Today. Yeah, man. Oh, I'm excited that you're the first guest.
Yeah, it's been an honor.
It comes full circle, right?
Yeah, yeah. So. I'd love to be back, man. We'll see where we are in a year. You came this far in less than a year since last June.
Yeah.
Like, who knows where you'll be in another year or so.
Who knows?
And so let's make it happen again soon.
Yeah, for sure. So please let everyone know your details, where they can find you, where they can see you like in the next couple months.
Yeah.
And they might want to just collab with you right off this. So
Sure. Not a lot of this stuff's concrete in terms of my plans, but in terms of my social media, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is sayrez. So that's SAY_REZ. And website is saimreza.com, so SAYEM R-E-Z-A.com. In terms of what I'll be doing the next few months to the next year or so, just trying to build on the automotive front. I hope you can see more of my automotive content and then also influencer content and just like hone my portrait skills and hopefully a few urban apparel wear. We'll see. In terms of places I'll be, going to LA at the end of the month.
If you're in LA,
I'm in LA. Yeah. Hopefully going to be in San Fran in October. And every year I do a big trip. Right now it's looking like Cape Town, but we'll see what goes down.
I might be there at the end of the year.
Oh, damn. We'll meet there, bro. We'll meet there. We'll take some photos there. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of where my year's at. And yeah, that's kind of
great. Great. Well, that's all. Guys, I'll put all of his information in the description of the podcast. You can find it because I know some of you guys are lazy and you're not going to want to do it. But hey, that's all. And this is the first episode of the Kobe Plexa podcast.
Awesome. Peace.
Peace.